Hey, this is Maxwell Carlisle, solo artist and guitarist from Hellion. You're listening to Focus on Metal.
Hey, metalheads, Scott Thompson here, welcoming you to episode 234 of Focus on Metal. We seem to be having a lot of return guests lately here on Focus on Metal, and this week appears to be no exception. Once again, I am happy to welcome to the show guitarist extraordinaire Maxwell Carlisle. Max is, as usual, a very busy guy. He shot me an email a few weeks ago and asked about coming back on the show and talking about what's going on with him with the solo stuff as well as with Hellion. And of course, I have to say yes. So that is what is on tap this week. A great conversation with Maxwell Carlisle, talking all about what's going on with him as far as the solo stuff goes, as well as Hellion and everything else the guy has been up to. But before we get to Maxwell, how about a track of the week? Track of the week this week comes courtesy of the UK's own Furion. These guys have been making waves over the last few months, getting tons and tons of press coverage over their brand new album. It's called Lost Salvation. Pretty interesting that an English band with only one other full-length LP would be coming over here to the US to record, but they did in fact do that, came over and recorded this down in Atlanta. And I did that at the Black Dog Studios, and just amazing results. It's got this really cool UK vibe to it. You can also hear a lot of American hard rock influence in here as well. And as I said, these guys have just been getting a ton of press, Metal Hammer and Rocks, and they've just been all over the place lately. I think everywhere you turn around, you start seeing stuff for Furion. And they've also been touring like crazy as well, all around the UK and stuff. So these guys have definitely been putting in the hours. So from the brand new one from Furion, like I said, the album's called Lost Salvation. This one's called Resurrect Me. There you have it. Track of the week from Furion. If you want to get a hold of those guys, you can go to furion.net. That's F-U-R-Y-O-N.net. And you can also get a hold of them on Facebook, facebook.com/FurionUK. And of course, go out and get yourself a copy of their new one, Lost Salvation. All right, so now let's turn our attention to this week's guest, Maxwell Carlisle.
Incredible. One of the worst performances of my career, and they never doubted it for a second.
Like to shred? Well, you've come to the right place. So jack it in and fire it up. It's time for another edition of The Shred Chronicles.
All right, guys, happy to talk once again with the one and only Maxwell Carlisle here. How are we doing?
I'm great, man. How about you?
I'm doing good. I'll tell you, do you ever sleep?
Well, you know, I try to sleep every, I think it's like every third Wednesday of every month.
There you
go. I take that day off and, you know, get a few hours, that kind of thing, yeah.
I'll tell you, it's messed up. I can't make this up that I couldn't find my Hellion shirt for the longest time. And the other night, I'm like, I finally find it. I'm like, oh, great. You know, I just taken a shower. I pop it on. I come back over to the computer, go hit my email, and like, boom, there's the message from you about, hey, you know, we're doing this, this, and this. Can I come on and talk about it? I was like, holy crap. Like, could this have ever like been possibly true? But yeah, pretty messed up.
There's got to be some kind of quantum physics explanation for all that stuff, man. Yeah. But
yeah, very, very weird. Because I haven't seen the shirt in months. And yeah, so that was... like I said, just a kind of a really weird coincidence that, you know, I was mixing all kinds of stuff that night. I'm like, I got to give my ears a rest. So, you know, shut down the session and went and took a shower and everything, come back and check. I was like, holy crap. So, yeah, kind of messed up. But, of course, you got tons of stuff going on, and that's how we have you on the show today. So let's start off with what's going on with you and your solo endeavors.
Sure. Well, I've got a new album out right now. It came out... in February, and it's called Visions of Speed and Thunder, and it's something that I've been working on for a long time, because it's kind of a combination compilation disc, and also you know some brand new stuff on there too. Basically, you know, everybody was, you know when somebody gets like one of my CDs, you know, from my back catalog, I've had different singers, you know, on different albums, and some of the stuff is instrumental and some of it's not. And I kind of felt like, well, if somebody, you know, orders one CD or downloads one album or whatever, you know, obviously they're getting what they're downloading, but they're not going to get a whole picture of what I've done as a solo artist.
Right.
So I wanted to kind of put a little of everything together on one album, and it's all, you know, it's all remixed and remastered, so it sounds, you know, very cohesive, you know, like it belongs together.
Yeah.
And then... you know, I did two brand new tracks. One of them is the title track, which I'm really proud of. It came out awesome. And, you know, I put that out, and it's gotten a good response. I mean, I love the cover artwork. I mean, there's a lot of things I really feel good about it. And it's out now. And I think it really, you know, represents what I've done as a solo artist very well.
Yeah, and what's unique about it is that one of your guests, Michelangelo Badio, essentially just did the same thing with Shred Forces 1, where, you know, Rat Pack put out that nice compilation, and it really gives you a good overview of what Michael's about as well. So it's pretty cool that you've got the same thing out there for people.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, you know, mentioning about Michael. I mean, I think he did, there was another similarity too. I mean, obviously, that's his first release with Rat Pack Records, you know, most of his solo releases have been on Mace Music, which was Michael's own label.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, I actually talked to Michael about that recently, and he was just real happy about, you know, he doesn't have to be as involved in the business and promotion side of things. I mean, they're taking care of a lot of that stuff for him, which is obviously, as an artist, I mean, that's a great thing. The less you have to worry about that stuff, the better, and you could just focus on playing guitar or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, his album, and it's done really well. It got on one of the Billboard charts, and it's been a cool thing for him. So, you know, yeah, I mean, it's, I think for an artist who's maybe done a lot of different things or had different, you know, different facets, you know, to their career, it's a pretty cool thing to do. I mean, not that I'll keep doing it, but, you know, it's a good thing for people who want to get into what I've done, you know, and of course they don't want to buy every CD. So.
Right. And, of course, you've got a lot of other great guests on here as well, which is, it's kind of like this whole cavalcade of great guitarists. I was pretty psyched to see Nita Strauss popping up on here as well. But, yeah, just a whole bunch of great guests.
Yeah, you know, and the, I mean, Nita's contribution was awesome. I mean, she's a great guitar player. And, you know, I think, obviously, sometimes her stage presence overshadows her playing ability, which
right.
is a shame, really.
Yeah.
Because she really is a great guitar player, even though, I think in a lot of the stuff she does, what's a nice way to say this? I mean, a lot of the stuff she does doesn't require her to be a great guitar player.
You right. know? Yep.
In a technical sense, but she really is, you know? So no, I mean, having her play on there was really cool. And the title track has got the vocalist from Lords of the Trident, Fang.
Yeah. He's a great guy.
He did it. Oh yeah. And he did it just a, He knocked that track out of the park. I mean, I love that song so much, you know.
One final blast and we head for the sky. The guns, all systems go. Fighting for all my power there now. Witness the victory. Hear the battle cries. See the final sights of war. Across the galaxy with mental power for those in need, teaching the faith the secret of steel, visions of speed.
Great guest, yeah, and yeah, I mean, Fang is one of those vocalists too that I wish more people would hear. I know that, you know, that new Lords of the Trident album, Frostburn, he just does some great vocals on there, so it's nice to see that he's getting out and getting recognized, because that's, you know, definitely an underrated vocalist there.
Yeah, but he is, though. I mean, he is getting more recognition, and I think I can't talk too much about it, but he and I are working on some stuff it's going to come out in the future. So he, you know, he and I are collaborating again. And obviously Lords of the Trident continues to climb the mountain of fame. You know? they're doing great too.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. That is a very Lords of the Trident way of putting it right there. That's awesome. And I do like the cover art as well. It's one thing that's kind of always been to me anyways, kind of a theme of all your cover art, either something like cataclysmic is happening, or something is gonna happen, or it just finished happening, and you're chilling out. It seems to be, I don't know, when I look at your album covers, that's the way that I see it, that they've got this inherent action to every one of them.
Well, it's a metal album. I mean, I can't be, you know, chilling on a park bench or something like that, beating the birds. I mean, I don't know, maybe I could, but if they're, you know, robotic birds with lasers on them and they're trying to cut my head off or something, maybe that would work, but... No, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, you want the artwork to have the same intensity that the music does. So I think that was a success on this one.
Yeah, and what it is, too, is that particular artwork, it really reminds me of a lot of the stuff that the European bands are putting out. It's not so much an American cover. It's a very European metal cover.
Yeah, I think that's true. And, I mean, obviously, you know, I'm from Los Angeles, but, I mean, a lot of the bands that I listen to today, and, you know, stuff that I've been influenced by, it's very, very European sound, you know, very, if not from Europe, then they definitely sound like they should be. All the,
right.
You know, all the great German heavy metal bands and you know, Swedish and that kind of stuff.
I mean, yeah.
Obviously, there's some amazing musicians that have come out of Europe.
Absolutely. See, now I got this vision in my head of this huge guy with a mohawk on the park bench feeding pigeons and some horrified old lady sitting there next to him. I just, like... Now it's like, that's a great album cover. I can't get it out of my head. So,
damn it. You know, I'll tell you what. Maybe I'll do like a limited edition print up of that for the next album. I'll do that. Yeah.
Oh man, it's kind of like that classic Lillian Axe cover. So, of course, one thing that you've been doing is I think it's a really choice gig, and you've been with Hellion for a while now. And so, what's going on with Hellion?
Well, I'll tell you. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on with Hellion, and it's all really cool things. I'm excited about. Right now, we're mixing a live record, and it's stuff that we did a tour at the end of last year,
right?
In the U.S., and it went really well, and we did a lot of dates, and we got, you know, multi-track recordings from most of the, you know, most of the nights, and so we had the idea, you know, at the time, it was like, well, maybe we could do a live album, or if not, it's always good to be able to listen to your performances and that right. kind of stuff, but we listened back to it, and it's, you know, just some really great, really great moments on there. So we've been going through, and, you know, obviously you got to go through and listen to every song from every night, you know, and kind of pick which ones represent the song the best and that kind of thing. So we've been doing that. We've been mixing it, and I don't have a release date for you at the moment, but I mean, it'll definitely be out this year.
Nice.
And it's really, you know, it's really cool. I feel like a lot of bands don't really release live albums anymore, which I think is a shame.
Right. Yeah, you're right. And that was, I think, one of the, you know, the big news when, you know, Van Halen put out their Tokyo Dome one, is it's like, you know, one, it's like a live album from that era of the band, you know, that lineup. But just also it's, yeah, it's just, it's pretty rare nowadays that they do, which is kind of a shame that and maybe it is that some of the live albums for a while really got a bad rap when people revisited back, and, you know, it ends up it wasn't really live type of thing, and bands kind of stepped away from it. I don't know, but you're right. I wish more bands would do live albums.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, there's a whole stigma around, you know, what was it, Unleashed in the East,
right?
You know, right? They got a bunch of flack because they had to, you know, redo the vocals and that kind of stuff.
Tyrant comes through all. Tyrant is destructive. Tyrant every mental bird.
I mean, you know, you can say what you want about it, but at bottom line, I mean, I love listening to live albums, you know, and yeah, I wish more bands would do that. But anyway, yeah, Hellion's doing that. It'll be out this year for sure. And we've got that. And then also the last, you know, new studio stuff, the Karma's of Itch EP, we're going to release that on vinyl, which I think is really cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and actually we just got the test pressings for it a couple weeks ago, and which is really, I mean, for me, you know, because I'm in this the kind of CD generation of music, right? For me to, you know, hear something that I've done on vinyl and be able to put it on the turntable, I mean, it's such a cool thing. I'm sure to, you know, to somebody from the generation previous to me, that just sounds like, well, of course, you know, but for me, it's like it's a new thing, you know, it's really cool.
Yeah, no, I can remember even playing in bands, and that was the big deal for us too, was if you could get, you know, something pressed on vinyl, it was like, you know, now you really had something. And CD just never felt the same way when something came out on CD, but vinyl was like, yeah, look what I got. It just seems so much more physical.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing about it, I mean, there's constant arguments about, oh, well, it's, you know, the sound is warmer and it's got this great compression on it and all this kind of thing. But for me, it's the artwork. You know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, to see Karma's a Bitch in that 12x12 format, that's going to be insane.
Oh, yeah. You know, totally. I mean, I love that cover, and there are so many great, you know, so many great album covers, and when they get, you know, shrunk down to like a 5x5 CD cover, you know, it's like, okay. You know, at least there's still something there. I mean, at least it's not an MP3, but yeah, to have it on the, you know, to have it on the, you know, the, a real record, you know, cover is really cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's a super detailed cover too. So I'm sure that once you see that 12x12, you're going to see a lot more of it. I mean, that's kind of, we were talking last week on the show, you know, Iron Maiden doing all their re-releases. I think it's going to be so cool for people that have only ever had the CD versions of their albums to actually look at something like the Derek Riggs artwork and look at stuff on Power Slave or Somewhere in Time and see all the little things he put in there that you just can't see on the CD cover.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm, you know, and I think a lot of people will buy that stuff. I mean, they might listen to it once, you know, on their turntable, you know, but it's more just to have it. And I mean, you know, there are a lot of, you know, they sell, you know, all these frames and stuff for, you know, for covering your wall with album covers, which is, you know, that's cool too. You know, it's, you know, the more you have the music in your life, the better, I think.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. I suspect you must have a European tour coming up, judging by the tagline that's on your website.
Yeah, well, no, we do. We've got some dates. Unfortunately, I can't talk too much about it because there's still stuff being negotiated and that kind of thing. But no, we've got some dates in the fall that are set up for Europe. There's a possibility that we're going to have some stuff also a little earlier, like in the summertime. But there's definitely stuff that's already confirmed in like September, you know, in October and in the fall.
Nice.
So I mean, I'm really I can't wait to get over there, especially, you know, with Hellion, because there's so many people over there who've been asking, you know, like, man, when's Hellion coming back to Europe? You know, and there's a huge following over there. So obviously, you know, it's been a priority to get back over there and deliver the goods, you know, but that stuff obviously takes, you know, these days, especially with, you know, I mean, Simon Wright on drums and Bjorn and Scott on keyboards. I mean, they all play, and almost everybody plays in several different bands, you know, right. So to get everybody's schedules to work together can be a nightmare sometimes, but no, we're definitely getting over to Europe. We just had a great show in Chicago with Y&T and Quiet Riot, which was really cool. And, you know, we'll be doing, you know, some other stuff here and there as well. But definitely this year, the big focus is Europe.
Nice, nice, yeah. And one other thing that's really cool that people should know is that, you know, on the website for Hellion is that you guys have some really nice merch bundles, too. I don't think anyone else out there has got as comprehensive a bundle of merchandise as you guys have. And it's kind of like if you want to do a, you know, a one-shot order and get, like, a ton of great stuff, I mean, definitely you guys have done really well as far as packaging all that stuff together.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, the thing about Hellion, of course, is, you know, there's a great back catalog, you know, to the work. And so, You can get, you know, your Screams in the Night t-shirt, you know, or you can get the brand new Karma's a Bitch t-shirt, and there's tour stuff on there. Yeah, I mean, there's stickers and laminates and whatever, you can, bottle openers, you know, that yep. kind of stuff. I mean, whatever you want, you can get on there. And it's actually kind of funny because I've done the same thing with my solo stuff.
Yep.
Pretty much because of that. You know, I'm like, man, this is a good idea. You know, this is kind of what people want, rather than getting one thing here and one thing there. You know, yeah. you give a big pack of stuff, and of course it's a cheaper price for them, and you know, whoever's you know, your shipping company doesn't have to deal with as much stuff, so it's a win for everybody.
Right.
But, no, I pretty much stole that idea for my own use.
Yeah, I was going to say, because you got a lot of that. What was it? Is it the Super and Mighty Pack? Is that the one with the three CDs and the poster? Something like that?
Yeah, the three CD pack of Power and Might, I believe is the official
title. That's what it is, yeah.
Yeah, you get three CDs and a photo and stickers and guitar picks. The whole thing.
Yeah, I think it's great to do that. I think it makes people more interested too in actually buying the physical product, and I think that's a win for everybody.
Yeah, definitely.
So what else? What else have you been up to? Anything else?
Yeah, I mean, there's another thing, too. Obviously, my latest solo release came out in February. One of the things about that, though, is it was that album sort of sat on the shelf for a little longer than I had intended before it was released. The reason for that, though, I mean, there was a good reason. I got a European distribution deal through a record company called Killer Metal Records, which is based out of Germany. So it's, you know, it's very well distributed over there, which for me, you know, as a basically independent artist, I mean, getting my foot in the door over in Europe was a huge thing for me. So, but obviously it took time for the deal to be worked out. So it was released from, you know, I had originally intended it basically to release it a few months earlier. So, that all being said, I've been working on my next solo release, which is it's interesting to me, and it has sort of morphed over the months, because I had a guy doing publicity work for me a while back, and he kept telling me, he's like, man, you should do a covers album. You know, you should do it, you know, even if it's just an EP, you should release a covers album with classic metal stuff, because, you know, you can play it, and you know, fans of your music will really dig that stuff. And And I thought about it, but I wasn't real excited on the idea, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, well, you know, but I don't consider myself, I don't consider my solo band like a cover band, you know? I didn't, there was just a vibe about it where I was like, eh, I don't know.
Right.
But then everybody I mentioned the idea to was like, that man, that is a really good idea. You should do that, you know? And people start, you know, they start suggesting songs and so forth. And so then I kind of came around to it. I'm like, well, you know, everybody thinks it's a good idea. Maybe I should consider this. So I started contacting people, and, you know, the idea has been to have different singers, you know, guesting on the different songs, you know, depending on the song.
Right.
You know, find somebody whose voice is a real great fit for that. So I started doing that, and then, you know, then the idea was, okay, I'm going to release two covers EPs. So I'll release them like 6 months apart, right? And then I'm like, well, you know, I did two EPs before, and then I did this Visions of Speed and Thunder CD, which kind of combined all that stuff. So I'm like, why don't I just release a full-length album? You know, I can make a bigger deal out of the promotion, this kind of thing. So then I started working on that, and of course, you know, selecting the songs, putting it all together, getting all these people involved. But then a third step happened in it, where I, you know, you have these, as an artist, you have these moments of, you know, inspiration, you know, where you just suddenly come up with a bunch of ideas.
Yeah.
And you got to work on this stuff, you know, before it, you know, disappears out of your brain. So I started coming up with a bunch of original tunes, you know, Maxwell Carlisle original tunes.
Right.
And I thought, well, man, I don't want to have to wait, you know, like a year or more to release this stuff. So then I'm like, okay, well, you know what? A bunch of other people have done combination albums where it's originals and covers. Like, why can't I do that too? So now it's a full length album. It's getting pretty long too, you know, with all these things I keep adding to it, but it's going to be a combination brand new, you know, original songs and classic metal covers. And when I say classic metal covers, I very deliberately steered clear of the obvious choices for covers. I mean, I'm not going to do The Trooper. I'm not going to do Breaking the Law, you know, that kind of stuff. I mean, I've tried to dig a little deeper. Like I've got a Loudness song on there. I've got a Stradivarius song on there. You know, I want to explore metal a little bit more.
Sure.
I've got, a UDO song, you know, Udo Dirkschneider, one of his solo tunes I've got on there. I mean, that kind of stuff. I mean, they're just songs that I personally really love and really connect with and, you know, I'm excited to listen to and excited to play, you know, that's the kind of stuff that's on there. So it's, I got to admit, partly because of my fault, partly because I keep, you know, I could have released a covers EP by now, obviously would have been done, you know, but, because I've been adding things to it and because of the number of different people involved in terms of, you know, the guest vocalists, and I've got some guest guitar players, it's progressing pretty slowly. So
yeah,
it's probably going to be out this year, but probably towards the end of the year.
Awesome.
But that's, now that's the next thing I'm working on with my solo stuff. And I got to admit, you know, like I said, I wasn't real excited to do it in the beginning, but at this point I've had so much fun doing it, you know, with the covers and, you know, talking to all the people involved and, you know, hearing what they have to offer and get excited about, you know, it's been a really cool project for me.
Awesome. Well, I have to keep me in the loop on that. So when that comes out, we can let everybody know about it.
Oh yeah, absolutely, man.
Yeah. And that's great that you didn't go with kind of those tried and true standards too. And cause I like when people go and do some other different things and it's, I think it also gives you a little bit of insight into the artists themselves too. And like you said, I mean, they're songs that you like, so it kind of gives a little bit of kind of the Maxwell Carlisle history in that song. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, I think my hope is that, you know, obviously they'll like the song, but you know, even for a diehard metal fan, I mean, there might be a few songs on here that they've never heard before, you know?
Right.
So if I can, and these are songs that I really love, you know, so if I can, you know, expose people to stuff that they're going to like, you know, that they're going to love it just as much as I do, you know, and it'll be a new thing for them, even though it might be a classic song.
Right.
You know, I think that'll be a really cool thing. That's what I'm hoping to accomplish.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, introduce people to new stuff as well, because there's definitely, you know, a lot of younger people now that are starting to listen to metal for the first time, and it's nice to give them a pathway to go back and explore stuff that they might have missed. So it's and that's a nice way to do it.
Yeah.
As far as gear, got anything new you're doing, or is it the same kind of stuff you've been playing with? Or
you know, it's actually pretty. I've made a few changes in guitars and stuff, but most of my rig is pretty much stayed the same as far as amps and effects and things like that. I mean, I've pretty much got it at this point. I got pretty much dialed in, you know, where I want. I actually just picked up a new guitar just the other day that I'm going to be planning on playing it with Hellion, because it's called a Dean Deceiver by Dean Guitars, and it's like a Les Paul kind of shape, mm-hmm. you know, like the single cutaway shape.
Yeah.
But it's got all the modern shred, you know, paraphernalia on it. I mean, it's 24 frets, it's got EMGs, active pickups, Floyd Rose, killer, you know.
Yeah.
Killer spec on it. So I just got it just a couple days ago. So I'm putting the strings on it and tricking it out and doing all the fun things right now. But there's something about the body shape, that body shape that, you know, they hang a little lower,
mm-hmm.
they balance well, and they're very conducive to rocking out. That's the best way to put it.
That's cool. So I'm surprised that you know you don't try any kind of new effects or anything. I mean, we're kind of in that almost that golden new age of effects pedals. There seems to be some really incredible makers out there right now. So, but you haven't seen anything lately that tempts you out there that you want to throw in your rig at all?
Well, there were a couple pedals that I got some, I don't know, fairly recently, but they haven't become staples of my rig yet. I mean,
yeah.
I got like the Paul Gilbert Airplane Flanger by Ibanez, which is, I mean, pretty, you know, you can do some pretty crazy sounding stuff on there.
Yeah.
And I also got one of the Whammy DT pedals, which is like, you know, the Digitech pedals. And it's got all the crazy Whammy, like, pitch bending effects, but it also has a drop tune section on there.
That's pretty cool. They took that Whammy and broke it up into the different kind of individual segments and put those out as separate pedals. That was a pretty cool little marketing idea that they did.
Yeah, I think it's done pretty well for them, too. But it's a really cool pedal. It's huge. You know, things gigantic, you know, but... It's a really cool pedal. But yeah, I guess at this point, it's like, you know, I mean, maybe if I'm going to do some kind of jam night or something, then I could use it. But at this point, when I'm going to play a gig, I mean, I'm going to bring the stuff that I need to play those particular songs.
Right.
So until I really put that stuff on recordings, you know, there's just not a big reason for me to put it in my rig yet. But
right. Yeah,
I mean, going in the studio, and I mean, you can spend days just screwing around with effects, you know, and it's so much fun.
Oh yeah. No, I'm absolutely horrible about it. I mean, my co-host will come down and he doesn't play, but he'll be like, well, what's that? Be like, well, that's another overdrive. So you just got like two overdrives. What do you need another one for? Oh no, it does this and that. And his eyes start rolling. But yeah, I've been on a roll lately with just some incredible effects that are coming out. Very hard to resist, you know, nice stuff to fun to experiment with. So I just think we're in this really cool age of effects box. That and low-powered amps, I think, are also really coming into their own again.
Oh, yeah, like the tube heads that are like 5 watts, that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
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 Well, what kind of, you're talking about effects, like what, I'm curious, and what kind of stuff are you into?
Well, like recently, like I picked up Sub Decay makes this one called the Variac Overdrive, and it, you know, lets you switch between diodes and you can do a lot of different tone sculpting with it to really get anything from, you know, AC/DC to Zeppelin. It's not really as much a hard kind of metal sound as it's more hard rock, classic rock, but it does amazing stuff, especially with, you know, when you're using like all digital and in your digital audio workstation, and you roll that into the loop, and it makes things just sound so much better. And I managed to pick up one of the last production run Keeley compressors. You know, way back in the 80s, I had a Ross compressor that I stupidly traded in for God knows what at the time. It was probably a pointy guitar. And I've searched for a Ross compressor ever since then, but they go for insane money. But you know, the Keeley two knob compressor is essentially the Ross compressor made into a, you know, a new modern box. And they decided end of last year, they weren't going to make that two knobber anymore. And so I managed to get one of the last production runs of those. And it's just a really nice compressor for guitar. And just been, you know, been enjoying the heck out of that. And geez, what the hell else did I buy? I got one of the new, the reissue DOD envelope filters. That's also pretty cool. Yeah. When I was playing bass, I had that on my pedal board all the time. It was great for bass, but I really liked it for guitar as well. But those, I'm glad that those are back out again. And every time I'm like reading on magazines or whatever, my list of the next pedal I need to get just keeps growing and growing. But good stuff.
Well, yeah. I mean, new gear is always, it's always inspirational. You know, yeah. You plug it in, and, hey, that's a new sound. You know, what can I do with that? Yeah, I know, that's totally cool, man.
Yeah, no, I've been, and now it's kind of the other things I've been looking at is like the tone stacking. I read a really nice article recently about tone stacking with delays and using a digital delay and an analog delay, and then being able to manipulate it so that you're using the best of each one against each other. And so I've been kind of fooling around a little bit with some of that stuff with either the delays in my rack and with analog delays and things like that. But just that kind of fun stuff that I never really thought about doing before. And that's the one I've been having the most fun with, is just playing with the delays. But I've been also doing that a little bit with the overdrives as well, and seeing, you know, how they play against each other. Just a new sound. And then, you know, you start playing with it and you all of a sudden a new riff pops in your head, and you know, it makes for a pretty cool day.
You know, it's funny, you're talking about delays so much. I mean, I think part of it's in guitar, and of course part of this has to do with mixing, but I feel like there are certain guys who like reverb,
mm-hmm.
and there's certain guys who like delay, you know,
yeah.
And I'm a delay guy all the way. I very, very rarely, even when I'm mixing, will use any kind of reverb, maybe a little on like some drum things or something, but
yeah,
you know, on guitar, man, oh, it's gotta be delay for me, you know, a nice long delay on a solo or, you know, a you get a really killer stereo delay going on there. It just like, you know, puts you, it takes your guitar and like sticks it on a different planet or something like that. It's, you know, the coolest, you can get the coolest sounds from delays. I love it.
Yeah, definitely. It's, I know there's a new one that Digitech just put out. It's called the Obscura. And that's one of the next delays I might get. It lets you do a little more shaping, but it also lets you start to deal with the degradation of the decay as well. And so that one just kind of really appealing as a different way of working with delay. So that might be the next delay I pick up, is that Digitech box. Don't know. Like I said, my list keeps getting longer and longer, but I think you're right about the reverb and delay. I think part of it might come out of the fact that for a while there in the 80s, delay, and I mean reverb and chorus just like got abused incredibly in every mix. I think a lot of people stepped back away from both of those for a long time. Delay stepped into that place, especially as they started to get a little bit better. So I think a lot of people like it because of that. But you're right, I tend to use more of the delay as well. I think it also helps because I'm more of a rhythm player, and it's that really rhythmic device as well. So it just kind of, it slots into the way that I play.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You get, you know, under ideal conditions, you know, you get the delay timed, you know, to the song or to the track or something, and just, you know, add so much to it.
Yeah.
You can't really do that with reverb.
Yeah. Like one of the cool delays I just picked up, I got it at a steal price. It was used, and it was missing the encoder knobs, which cost me like nothing to go out and get new encoder knobs for it. But it's the TC Electronics D2, which not only has a tap tempo, but you can actually tap a pattern into it, and it will delay against that pattern.
Oh, man, that's really cool.
Yeah, and it's a rack effect. And, you know, TC Electronics is great stuff, but I mean, I got this thing for an absolute steal just because it was missing the encoder knobs. But, I mean, full Compass carries encoder knobs for $8 a piece, so it's like, yeah, done deal. But it's really cool. I think Matt Sorms used that patterned stuff on some of his drum tracks before, and it's a really cool delay unit.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Yeah. Anything else going on with you? Like I said, you never sleep. I swear to God, you're always doing something.
Well, the other thing I should mention is, as of the end of last year, I started teaching guitar over Skype.
Uh-huh.
And it's been a really cool thing. You know, I for a long time, I mean years, I would get people asking me if I did, but I kind of felt like, you know, I kind of felt like, well, you know, it's kind of a different world. I mean, there are guys who they teach and that's all that they do, and they just kind of specialize in that. And I should just leave it up to those guys to do it. You know, but I kind of kept getting people bugging me, or I shouldn't say bugging, you know, I kept getting people asking me about it. And I kind of felt like, well, maybe there's, you know, enough of a demand that I should do it. And, you know, when I hadn't done a lot of it, but when I had done teaching, you know, one-on-one, like in person, just kind of here and there, I always really enjoyed it. You know, I mean, I like, you know, passing on knowledge and you know, hey, here's something that helped me and it'll help you, that kind of thing.
Right.
So, yeah, I kind of put the word out. This is basically after the Hellion tour finished up last year. And I started doing that. And, yeah, it's all over Skype, you know, through Skype. So, obviously, anybody, you know, anywhere in the world, provided we can figure out a time that works, you know, I'm happy to teach them. And I guess one thing that I kind of focus on is I don't just teach guitar technique, you know, and scales and things like that. Because, honestly, you can learn that stuff anywhere. I mean, I teach that stuff, but I also teach a lot of like songwriting.
Yeah.
I teach like basic like guitar recording skills, you know, and like, hey, you know, it's a good idea if you record it twice and then pan them to the sides, it'll sound really, you know, it'll sound a lot better that way. You know, just basic things like that. But I feel like, you know, for somebody coming up, especially somebody who wants to develop a career in music, there's a lot more stuff that you have to know now. I mean, you have to be a lot more self-reliant now,
right,
than I think you used to 15 or 20 years ago. So I try to teach, you know, I try to teach a lot more than just the technical end of how to play guitar. You know?
Yeah. And Skype's great for doing that too, I think. I mean, like you're right, you said, there's lots of content like on YouTube and stuff. And okay, you want to learn how to sweep pick, you can go to YouTube and find, you know, 100 videos on sweep picking technique. But what you don't have with that you do with Skype is that you don't have the feedback on, you know, maybe you should try, you know, you got your elbow in too much. You got to loosen up, you know. There's that feedback that you just don't get that from the videos. And I think that's a huge advantage of being able to be have an instructor over Skype helping you through any of these type of things.
Yeah, I totally agree. Because, I mean, you can be, you know, you can learn something and kind of fumble your way through it. But you might have something, you might have some, like a bad habit or something that's holding you back. And it's going to limit you, you know. In what you're doing. And obviously, you know, with an instructor or somebody watching, that's really the only way to identify those things and fix them. And the other thing, too, about Skype is, in a way, I mean, you know, sometimes you think, well, you got to, like, listen to this through the, you know, over your computer and you're trying to watch the screen. But, I mean, those slight disadvantages, I mean, you've got so many other things that are great. I mean, you can, the student can use whatever equipment that they're normally used to. You know, they're playing on their own rig. I'm playing on my own rig. You know, you're in the comfort of your own home or a studio or whatever, you know. I mean, you got some, you know, you got some drink there or something with you. I mean, it's just being able to be in a nice, relaxed environment for both people, the teacher and the student.
Right.
I think that makes a really big difference instead of, you know, I mean, geez, in LA, I mean, it's like, you got to get in your car, you got to sit in like an hour of traffic to drive anywhere, you know, and, you know, go someplace and, you know, pay for parking and all this garbage that you have to put up with, you know, when the alternative is you sit at your home and absolute comfort and shred, you know, rock out, you know. So, no, I mean, I think, I mean, being able to do it over Skype is just, it's got so many advantages. It's a really cool thing. So, yeah, I'm doing that now. Obviously, if people are interested, I mean, I'm easy to get a hold of through my website or, you know, Facebook or any of those things. And, yeah, it's, you know, I'll continue to do it as long as there's interest in it. But I'm happy I started doing it. I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I really like the fact that you're not just doing, like you said, guitar technique, but all those other ancillary things as well. I mean, things like songwriting, I think for a long time, like the only person I knew that was doing any of that over the internet at all was one of those, I can't even remember the name of the band now. Jesus, now I had it in my head and it just went out. The band that did Blood and Roses. I can't even think of the name of the band now. The Smithereens. There was the one guy from the Smithereens who was doing that kind of songwriting teaching. And he was the only person I knew that really was ever doing that. But I think that's, you know, really important. It's because some people, I think, also, you know, with what they play, they may feel intimidated that they're not at a certain level. But you don't have to be at this extremely high level to write songs at all. So it's good that, you know, that someone like you can step in and make people recognize of like, really, I'm at a point where I can write a song. I don't think you'd get that without things like doing this on Skype.
Yeah. And I mean, you bring up a great point. I mean, absolutely. For better or for worse, your technical ability does not really have to be that high to write songs. And I mean, you know this and I know this, but I mean, I think there are a lot of people out there, a lot of guitar players, aspiring guitar players, who are under the impression that just being a great technical player will get you everything you want, you know, and unfortunately it won't, you know. And I mean, it would be great, you know, if we could all, you know, if we can sit in our rooms, you know, 8 hours a day and practice scales and practice technique, and then walk outside and get a great gig and everybody's amazed, you know, but it just, you know, that's just not how it is. And I mean, there are so many other things that get overlooked, you know, or that can get overlooked. And I mean, songwriting is a huge thing. I mean, I hate to say it, but you know, the one thing that's not replaceable in a band is writing the songs.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, so, you know, you can, somebody still had to write the song, and it has to be a great song in order for it to be a success. You can always get somebody else to play or even sing, you know, the song. But I mean, songwriting is kind of the end of the line. I mean, as far as, you know, if you want to have a career in music and be in a band, I mean, there are a few, I mean, in complete honesty, I mean, there are a few exceptions, and that there are some session guys, you know, and that kind of thing, who've had great careers and probably have never written anything, you know. But it's very, very rare and very difficult to do that. So, yeah, I mean, if you can go out there, you know, and write some killer songs, Yeah, I mean, again, for better or for worse, I mean, you can be a kind of a mediocre player in the technical sense, you know, and I mean, I don't, you and I, I'm sure, could list a lot of names of people who we think should be better players, you know, but in the professional world, you know, but that's the reality of it, you know. So, yeah, I mean, I try to teach the things that I think are truly useful.
Right.
You know? And, yeah, it's but it's, you know, it's fun for me, too, because, you know, when you're teaching something, you know, you get to think about things a little bit differently than you did before when you're communicating it to someone else. So,
yeah, that's always a cool thing I like when I'm trying to, when I, you know, people ask me questions and I try to explain something and then they'll ask me something and it'll be like, geez, I never actually thought about that. You know, sometimes it's just geez, I never thought about how I hold the pick and how far down and things, just simple, even little things like that. It's so cool to look back at your own technique from somebody else's eyes and you'd be like, wow, I never, and it gives you something new to, you might want to reexamine and work on. So it's a nice kind of two-way street on that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it you know, everybody wins, you know, sharing knowledge and, you know, you get to connect with people who you normally never would have, probably never would have talked to otherwise.
And that's right.
It's a great thing.
Awesome. Well, this has been a pretty cool way to spend a Sunday morning, and I've been looking forward to it all week to be able to come back and talk to you again. I always love having you on the show, and definitely always love listening to everything you do. And I'm looking forward to some more Maxwell Carlisle coming out and a great Hellion Live, because you guys haven't had a live album for a while, so this will be great to see this as well. So lots of cool stuff to look forward to. And yeah, definitely, guys, you heard him. I mean, doesn't that sound like a teacher you'd want to have teaching you? So definitely you want to get a hold of him if you want lessons, and hopefully some guys can work out a schedule and be able to take some lessons from Maxwell. So that'll be pretty awesome way to spend your time, I would think.
Well, thank you so much, man. I'm glad, I'm glad we had so much to talk about today. It's always good to be busy and good to have new stuff coming out, but I'll keep you posted on all the releases and, sure. We'll get to talk again soon, I'm sure.
Awesome. I hope so. All right, man. Have a great rest of the day.
All right, man. You too. Thank you. Bye.
There you go. My conversation with Maxwell Carlisle. Always love having that guy on the show. Definitely one of these things where you get a good, well-run conversation with him, with all the solo stuff and the band stuff and equipment stuff. And just, it was even a surprise to me that he was doing all the teaching over Skype. So that's also very, very cool. And of course, if you want to get a hold of Maxwell, you can go to his website, which is maxwell.com. 3 X's in that, Maxwell. You can also follow him on Twitter at MaxwellC. And of course, on Facebook, facebook.com/Maxwell-Carlisle. And of course, if you want to get a hold of everybody in Hellion, keep up with the band and their dates and all that, Hellion's website is hellion.us. And by coincidence, Anne Boleyn of Hellion is, was always a great friend of Ronnie James Dio. And the day that I'm actually mixing this show together, it is the fifth anniversary of the death of Ronnie James Dio. Of course, one of my all-time favorite vocalists, and a friend to so many people in the metal community. And even though all kinds of anniversary celebrations were held, you know, over the weekend, I just want to let everyone know, remind everybody that, you know, it's been 5 years since we lost Ronnie. And if you want to help with the cancer fund that was set up by Ronnie's survivors, you can go to ronniejamesdio.com, and there is a link there for the Stand Up and Fight Cancer Fund. So that is a wrap for this week on Focus on Metal. For myself, Scott Thompson, and Richie, and everybody else here on Focus on Metal, we all hope you have a good metal week. If you want to keep up with us, as usual, keep up with us at focusonmetal.net, as well as focusonmetal.blogspot.com. Twitter.com/FocusOnMetal. And of course, you can reach out to Richie on Facebook. He is ably covering the Focus on Metal Facebook page, and I appreciate the hell out of him doing that. So as I said, have yourselves a good metal week. And until we talk to you again next week, remember,
Focus on Metal.
Everything else is insignificant.
Hey! You're still here? It's over. Go home.